Let's meet Lorenz Otto. Congratulations, Lorenz.
Thank you.
Hey, great. I will make you like a couple of questions.
So intimate to sit in front of you like this.
Is it?
It's like in a bar. Okay. We met like seconds ago.
The idea is to be comfortable, but not too comfortable. You know?
Okay, it's the hot chair.
If you don't answer well, the chair falls.
Okay.
One of the first thing I thought when I saw your film is that the narration, it's very elliptical. We have a lot of, let's say, holes in the story, no? And I think that the first question I can think of is this: how do you work the storyline? How do you decide what to show, what not to show, what to suggest, what to keep silent about?
I think this is a really exciting question, because it's so much connected to the process of the filmmaking. We had the script for, I think, 30 minutes, but the whole production process was really difficult. It was during the second corona wave, I think. It was very harsh restrictions to the corona incidents, so we had to adapt to that. And I think 2 months before shooting, I didn't even have a team. I started from beginning. And Mathis Hansbach, the DOP, I said to him, like, if you don't accept the project the next day, I won't shoot at all. And it was my graduation film. And so I had to break down a 30-minute script, because I knew we didn't have the budget and the time to shoot with two kids. There was a little sister also, or the mother, the father, different places, flats. We knew we couldn't find a flat in this short time. And then I had like 2 days where I sat down in a restaurant, like the people were watching me. It was so crazy. I was sitting there eating my soup and writing. And I thought about what are the moments which give me the feeling, the atmosphere of the film. And I have to say, like, the construction of the film really is connected to Antonia Marlin-Klein. She's sitting in the audience, she's the editor, because we really had to shape the film in editing. It was so much of, how can we make it possible that you don't know? Is it a day between the scenes? Is it weeks? That it feels like if you put the most intense moment maybe of a relationship into one stream of time. It sounds so high, but I don't mean it that way. Just how can we make the transitions between the scenes? So this was pretty much of the process. And we were like, it was an experiment. Let's see, we shot like 7 days. We had to throw away 2 days, the most exciting and exhausting ones. We had some nice scenes in the forest, but it wouldn't fit to the story. So we said, we will try out if we even could a short film make out of the material. And she was like, she saw a teaser, like 1 minute, oh, it's so atmospheric, I really want to do it. And then she looked through the material and she was like, ay, 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 ay.
It's true that sometimes in this process, you are very worried about the literal narrative and the continuity of the story. And then when you put together the pieces, it's not that important, maybe, no? And it becomes a little more allegorical, everything.
Yes, I think it's about emotions. So you connect with the emotions, and the emotions can be a transition. And for me, it's not important, is it like which place, how old, where do they come from? For me, the atmosphere is the most important thing. And the whole film is based on a feeling which is connected to my father. I have to state, it's not me in the film, it's not my father in the film, it's not our story, but it's a strange feeling I had connected to my father figure, which is the base of the film. So it was very clear that emotions would be our guideline. Also in editing process, it was like editing a documentary in some way. If we would decide for one way, two others would fade away. We couldn't do it anymore.
Let me ask you about how do you work with the actors, especially with the protagonist, and especially regarding a sensitive element, which can be sometimes this sexual awareness moment of everybody's life, no? How do you work this element and in general with the actor?
First of all, about the element, it was really important for me, because when I grew up, like coming of age, like adolescence, I didn't have many father figures, or let's say male figures in my life. There was all the time women, and I really liked it, but I was, when I took a shower at the sports club, I was the one guy wearing his shorts and the other one naked. And I was like, I was staring at the genitalia because I haven't seen that much. So it was kind of me, the feeling of growing up, not to, sexuality is developing, and maybe for me the film is a confrontation, a boy confronting male gender and maybe father figures in general. And Johannes Degen, the male actor, the main actor, he didn't shoot the film before. He did some acting lessons, but it was really intense work with him because he was, I think, 13 years old at this moment, but he is really aware. I could work with him like very abstract. We had some rules. We had a tennis ball all the time. We would throw a tennis ball and give us sentences. And he would ask, when I touch the mannequin at this kind of area, what does it mean? And I was like, oof, tough question. He's like 13 years old. What the fuck should I say now? What the fuck do I want even of it? Yeah. And he's asking. I was like, and he was like, if I'm like this kind of boy who sees maybe a gay porn magazine and is really interested in it, but feel ashamed. But in a secret moment, he looks at it and he doesn't know what he feels about it. I was like, yeah, this is it. It's maybe some kind of confrontation, some kind of getting to it and then to figure out. And some people said, oh, you can't do it in a film because it's like, maybe for some it's the father, for some it's the brother, it would be really weird. But for me, it was a really essential piece of the story. So we decided really, to leave it in. There was discussion to kick it out at the moment, or the touching of the hands, but it was, for me, it was the same thing. I'm talking too much, sorry.
No, at all. Let's open for them if they have any question, and I will try to see you. Maybe you have to wave a little bit, eh?
I think I don't
Do
see
we have
hand.
Any question or any comment, please? No? Ah, sorry. A microphone here, please. It's important, the microphone, so the translators can listen to the questions.
Hey.
Okay. Hey, Loretz. It's it's amazing what you did with the film. And one specific question I have is the elements that you bring into the piece. Like, I think to you represent some kind of traits for masculinity, but I really want for you to talk about a little bit of for these like symbols that appear in the movie, like for example the mannequin and all of these symbols that appear there. How did it appear in your own life? Like,
well, that's a really good question. I know where the confetti comes from. I somehow developed a weird, I don't know, I wouldn't call it fetish. It isn't sexual for me, but it's really intense feeling. a friend of mine had birthday and I didn't have a present, so I had to buy a confetti and some candles, which do this for Sylvester, you know, the Sylvester candles. Until then, I always had a little bit of confetti in my pocket, and it would be part of, if somebody had a birthday, they knew I was like just throwing confetti, and everyone was like, where the fuck comes confetti from? And I think it's a really nice element to, in the scene of violence, to put it into another atmosphere, onto another level. And I really like the colors and the feeling of this dreamy mood. So this is an element which is also connected to my life, you can say. And now I find it really funny to repeat it all the time. And the mannequin, I don't know. I once saw near a shop, there was a place with all a pile of dead or old mannequins. And I find it really funny because it's always this masculine, athletic body, and it's so, the skin and the look is so tough. And I really found it interesting to work with it. And then we came up with the idea that the mannequin body, the torso, would lay with the face down the water, and it's like a dead corpse. And he has to put it together and then to stand it up and to face him. And I don't know where it comes from, but I find mannequins really interesting. And we had to travel to another town to collect it from eBay, from a guy. He was really a really weird guy. So yeah, it's a personal. I still have a piece of the finger when he smashed it, when it fell down at my place. Yeah. I don't know if it answers your questions.
Yes, thank you.
Let's go for one more here, please. Ah. Yeah, please, I didn't know, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to ask you about the music, because you used the music in two very important parts of the film, I would say. And like, how did you decide on it? Did you decide beforehand, or was it like something that was born out of the process? And maybe, I mean, those are two kind of big questions, but maybe if you can also talk about the camera work, if it's something that you planned before, or how did you arrive at this aesthetic?
So yes, thank you for the question. The first question was about
music.
Music. Yeah, we didn't have any music. We didn't have any composer. It was part of our time and budget problem. So we were editing it. We were cutting it, and it was very clear that we need some music in the confetti part, because it's like a underground theme. Maybe it's like the base of the scene, but it was really hard to find something which wouldn't be too strong to put away from the scene, but also creating some kind of rising tension feeling. But not, we looked for drones, like, you know, sound data archives, and I really searched a long time. And the transition between the, he's destroying this pile of garbage and sitting in his chair and looking in front of the camera, we knew there was something happening in his mind, there's a mood shift, and we tried to support it. And it was really, I gave Tony a list of maybe some 10 or 20 songs, and we decided together which one would fit. And we tried it out. We took the music and put it over the scene and looked what it did to us. Yeah, and for the camera work, Mathis Hansbach, he did also two feature films, and he's really into like improvisational films. So it was the first time we didn't have any shot list. We didn't have the time. We didn't have any lighting crew or something like this. So we would rehearse and see how it goes. And then he's like a documentary guy. At the one moment he's like doing this, then he's running behind the actors and he's standing still, waiting. If you would look a second away, now he's on the back and shooting like this, and the next second like this, and it's very intense. So he's like a third actor. So for me it was working with him like a third actor. I would walk between him or next to him with a little monitor, and I feel like I'm in the fucking scene. Yeah, it was a great work with him. It is partly improvisation. So we had to come up with solutions the moment we were shooting. With a child, we could work 5 hours a day, and there was 1 hour for eating and resting. So it was hard, but really I could learn a lot.
Let's go for the last question over here.
Thank you.
My question would be, what's the, like, in the beginning you start with things coming from nature. We start with tomatoes, and then we see the wind and the trees, and then the boy is high up looking at the trees down, and it's very kind of being one with the nature and the surroundings in between. But then later on we see him sitting in the middle of the garbage. And is there something kind of emotional process, and what does it mean, these two being high up and then down ground to the garbage?
I mean, in the beginning it's like him waiting, so there's nothing out there, nature, and for me it's really interesting to see what happens around somebody. I mean, he's sitting there, but there's so much happening. There are cars passing by, there are leaves falling, it's autumn, so in Germany it's a really intensive season. You know, with all the, you can smell it, you can hear it, you can see it. And when we are up, you can see the leaves of the trees like going orange and yellow and stuff like that. So we are with him, he's maybe more connected to himself. And in the end, it gets a little more technical, or there's a mood shift. At the end, he's like, it's more packed. It's more in the sports room. It's also packed. There's not much room to escape. It's busy. There's a street nearby when he finds the mannequin torso. So I think it was really important to transition to this kind of ending, because it's not just about him and the peacefulness. It's more about the confrontation. And at the end, he has to break out and somehow. And this is the moment when he crushes the face of the mannequin. It's maybe one step away from all of this. And I think always, when I would meet this protagonist in real life, maybe it's fictional, yeah, but if I would meet a boy in 2 years or 3 years, I would hope for him that his father or his father figure isn't any more important for him. So it's the first step of a journey, and I wish him good luck. I can say this, yeah.
You passed the exam. The chair didn't fail.
Thank you very much,
Lorenz, for coming.
Thanks for nice questions.
Okay, let's continue with the next short. It's